All right, everybody, let's be miserable together, shall we? The Misery Loves Company numbers, 416-870-0590, star 590, 1-888-666-0590. Another banner night in Toronto sports. Maple Leafs losing 4-2. I thought they had that one in the bag. And Kevin Barker's Blue Jays taking it on the chin. Let's not overstate things, Jeff. Kevin Barker's Blue Jays losing 3-2 to the Kansas City Royals. The four-game series wraps up tomorrow afternoon in Kansas City. The Jays looking for a split. Then they get to come home and face the Los Angeles Dodgers. 416-870-0590, star 590, 1-888-666-0590. A couple of talking points, obviously. Kevin and I will talk about the sixth inning in a minute. But one, the news of the day, I guess, was Addison Barger being called up and Kevin Kiermaier on the IL. Addison Barger making his first ever start in left field. Kevin will talk about that right out of the gate, but I want to get the fans, the listeners, the callers, I want to get their opinions in Addison Barger. One game, I understand that, but what did you see from him? Do you like what you saw from him? We can talk about the lack of offense. I mean, basically, you might as well replay the last 14 Blue Jays talks if you want to do that, Kevin. But let's talk about that sixth inning before we get into Barger and before we get into Rodriguez, to Yariel Rodriguez. Now, look, I understand it's the sixth inning. I understand Kansas City's bullpen, lots of right-handed arms. I get that. But I got two on. My team cannot score. I mean, this team hasn't been able to score till, I don't know, it's like September 19th or something like that. They really haven't been able to score. I've got two guys on. I've got a bench full. I've got Justin Turner. I got Davis Schneider. I got Alejandro Kirk. I understand he's a catcher. We'll leave that aside right now. Daniel Vogelbach, who hasn't had a hit against a left-handed pitcher for 2 years. He was 0 for 15 last year. Gets in that bat against Angel Zerpa. Strikes out swinging. Ernie Clement comes up, grounds out. Addison Barger called out and strikes. So here's my thinking. And I heard what Buck said during the game. It's early in the game to pinch it when you know that you're going to run into a bunch of righties. My point is this, though. I ended up using Justin Turner in the ninth inning anyhow. I've got a chance to maybe not blow the game open, but I'm not. How many times am I going to have the first two batters of an inning on base? You know, I've got to take advantage of that opportunity. So I don't mind if I'm the Blue Jays. I'll pinch it for Daniel Vogelbach. I don't care if you bring a righty in because I've still got Addison Barger who's going to come up at the end of that inning. So I'm still going to get a lefty-righty matchup in my favor. Yes, I understand Addison Barger's a rookie. I get all that. But Kevin, I don't understand how you can have a team, manage a team that is not scoring runs and be so passive in that inning. Like that to me was a completely passive inning. I do not get it. I'll take my chances. I'll take Davis Schneider or Alejandro Kirk against a righty any day over Daniel Vogelbach against a lefty. I don't get that. And then as we talked about it, to me, it's even more complicated because I'm sitting there saying, okay, maybe Justin Turner was said, hey, it's a day off, man. You get off your feet. I don't know. Maybe Justin Turner wasn't feeling well, whatever. Then Justin Turner pinch hits in the ninth inning with nobody on. I do not get how John Schneider managed this game. And I don't usually come on and hammer John Schneider. I don't get how he managed this game.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I mean, you got Vogelbach up who don't like hitting off lefties. I mean, Vogelbach hadn't played since the 17th. Like, it's not like he's playing a ton. I mean, if he was and he looked like he was locked in. I mean, I know he had a couple of really good at-bats, but he just, for whatever reason, don't like lefties. And when you don't like lefties, why even give him a chance? You got Turner over there who, you know, I know he's been struggling a little, but he's still going to give you a better at bat off a righty than Vogelbach's going to give you a bat against a lefty. So I'm with you 1,000%. They ain't scoring no runs. You got to use your best guys in the biggest parts of the game. At for me, I just don't understand it. That's a lost opportunity, right? I mean, you got to be, if you're the manager, I would think, walking away from that game going, did I use my best guy in the best position? And you can answer that easy. No, I used him in the 9th inning with one out and nobody on, when I could have used him in the 6th inning with 2 dudes on and nobody out. I'd rather take my chances that way, even if it is against Schreiber, who righty's coming in, we're hitting .83. I don't care. Turner is my best hitter right now, other than Varsho, with runners in scoring position. I want that dude up when it matters in those big time at bats, because really right now, a lot of other guys are having trouble doing it. So I couldn't agree more. Like, this is sometimes you got to do things that you normally don't do. And that was a golden opportunity for me that was lost, that they should just walk him up there and let him have a quality at bat like he normally does.
Yeah. And the thing is, I mean, Justin Turner's been your cleanup hitter all year against lefties or righties. So that's, I mean, I had a real issue with that. I mean, the same thought process that says you can use your closer in the 8th inning because that may be the pocket where you need him also suggests to me that even though, yes, it is a 6th inning, as I said, I get all that. I got to know what my team is about, and that's an opportunity to score some runs.
Well, you kill two birds with one stone, right? You get a righty facing the lefties at the bottom of the order. That's what you're sort of doing right there, right? Is you're taking away the lefty because they're going to bring in Schreiber to face Turner. And now the lefty, the rookie, could face a righty. Exactly. You know, have a better chance of driving a baseball. Like, you're sort of killing two birds with one stone there. Yeah. I agree 1,000%. Just head scratching.
Before we spin off from this, John Schneider just addressed the media and talked about the pinch hitting situation. So this is John Schneider just a few minutes ago.
Yeah, if they didn't have a righty ready, probably at that point, you know, it's first and second, nobody out. You know, it's a situation where you bring in a righty. It's, you know, righty versus, you know, Schneider, JT, followed by Ernie. I wanted Vogie to hit against a righty late. You know, we got that opportunity. If it was Will Smith, you know, we had righties ready. So, tough call for sure. But, you know, it's, you know, you got to be in those situations. You're looking for a left on left or a right on right hit. Didn't get it.
Yeah, I mean, with all due respect, I cannot manage my game around the hope that Daniel Vogelbach is going to come up in the 9th inning with the game in the line. Kevin, I can't do that.
I just can't. Whenever I look over at the bench and I know that Justin Turner is 100% and can pinch hit that day, I'm looking for that big time spot, that big time at bat to use him, and he didn't. I mean, it's just for me, it's plain and simple. Like, I mean, he faced a righty in the 9th inning. It's not like he's getting a lefty. So, yeah, I don't get it.
Let's go to Sam in Hamilton. What's up, Sam?
Hey, guys. First of all, I mean, this offense, I mean, it's just, it drives me insane watching this offense. And that Vogelbach at bat, I don't know why he's on this team, especially after that at bat, after he just whiffs at bat. I don't want Vogelbach on this team anymore. I think there's other options in Buffalo. Now, about this offense, I said it last year, I called into the show, they should have fired, they made a huge mistake last season not firing the hitting coaches and all the stuff that goes into hitting coaches last season at the All-Star break, because then if the offense still would have failed, then you would have had the players to blame. But guess what? They ran it back with the same coaching staff pretty much, and it's like this again. So, like, are we going to lose another season of this? And not, like, who are we going to blame for this? The players, the coaches? I mean, you can't fire all the players. I think to me it's time to fire Don Mattingly, fire Guillermo Martinez. I mean, it's not working, and I don't want to go through 2023 2.0.
Yeah, Sam, listen, appreciate the call. You know, Kevin, I get why people feel that way. I think we need to – hitting coaches can't make you what you're not, I guess is what I'm trying to say. This team isn't constructed by the hitting coach. This team is constructed by the general manager. and the hitting coach is given the response, not even the responsibility. The hitting coach is there to help try to get the best out of what guys already are. So it's not like it's not like an offensive coordinator in football where Don Mattingly can sit down and come up with a play that's going to work. But we were told, what were we told in the offseason? You know, the information flow was going to be different. There's going to be stresses and better ways to communicate.
Simple.
And yeah. We spend all day on Blair and Barker talking about what Vladdy's going through. And clearly, whatever they're saying and whoever's saying it and however they're saying it and whenever they're saying it and whatever they're using to say it isn't working. So I get why fans would feel that way. It's just, there is blame to go around, but I'm not certain that the coaches are where the blame is to fall right now.
Yeah, I think that's tough too. You know, I think I sort of agree. You asked, would you blame a coach for Springer struggling? Would you blame a coach for Vladdy struggling? Would you blame a coach for Bo Bichette struggling? Would you blame a coach for Dalton Varsho? I think Dalton Varsho is more for his dad, about his dad, you know, the coaching side and being that relationship, especially when he's on our show and I was having the conversation. I mean, it's an everyday process. It's an every at bat thing. Like, they're going over, you mm-hmm. know, what it looks like and how it could get better. So it looks to me more like that's his dad than that is any other coach, you know. And then you could go down the list there. The younger guys, yeah, probably. That's why they're calling up hitting coaches from AAA, like just to make those guys comfortable so they can have sort of that kickstand that they're used to leaning on when things are going south. I just think the main guys, I don't know how you can blame a coach for that. I mean, that's more for me. They've been around long enough to say no. Like, if it ain't working, you don't like what they're spewing, just say get away from me.
If I'm not mistaken, I think George Springer has more World Series rings than Don Mattingly. I get what the callers are saying, and I get why people feel that way. But it tires me. But I feel like I have to keep reminding people that there isn't a switch that a hitting coach can hit that is going to make guys with 10 years major league service time do something they can't do. Now, in fairness to George Springer, I want to move on from this a bit. Actually, we'll Justin and Barry, hold the fort. I promise you we'll get to you. But I do want to talk about George Springer, Kevin. Home run and a double. coupled with what we saw yesterday with the singles. Positive signs from George Springer, I think you would say. And we've talked at the start of the year, so much of the focus was, why wasn't George Springer getting on? Like, why were they married to George Springer in the leadoff spot? And so we have to at least look at that. I think we have to at least look at that. Vladdy and Bo, you know, again, did not have good nights tonight at all. But what are you seeing differently from George?
What the double was a slider, the homer was a changeup. I mean, he took a fastball to get a changeup down the middle, and it's a homer to center. That's what he has to do. Like, you know, occasionally he'll have the slider bat speed because it's just not getting started on time. It's not down on time. You know, what I've noticed is when he has the little pause, when the foot hits the ground, that sort of tells you that everything's locked in, he's on time, he's seeing the ball right, and then he can hit quadrants with velocity. And when it's not, he's chasing, he, you know, ambushes and looks like he sometimes has never hit before. So that's kind of nice to see. You always like results. You can build off that. You can gain confidence. And, you know, again, they're going to need, I think asking two or three of them to get hot at the same time is not realistic. If one of them can get hot and sort of stay hot with Dalton Varsho and kind of be the bookend, right? Either George gets hot and Dalton stays hot, or Vladdy gets hot, Dalton stays hot, or Bo gets hot, Dalton stays hot. Like, you're booking it, right? At least you got, instead of one guy hot, two guys can get hot, and maybe a couple of guys are starting to run into things. You're hitting three-run homers, and you're scoring a few more runs that way. So I think it's baby steps. And the George thing, you like when he takes the fastball in because he's had a little trouble hitting it. Take it if you can't hit it. Force the guy to make a mistake. He throws a changeup down the middle, you get a homer. That's called a big league approach. That's what they've been yelling and screaming to everybody to do. So hopefully that's a step forward and he can continue that.
416-870-0590, *591, 888-666-0590. A reminder that Blair and Barker will be on following tomorrow afternoon's game on Sportsnet on the TV side, as well as Sportsnet 590, The Fan. And we will be taking your listener and viewer, I guess, questions through the back leg line, 416-413-3959. I will send that out on social media tomorrow before the game. Justin and Barry, you're on Blue Jays Talk.
Hey, thanks, guys. Again, I can't stop, you know, going on my phone during the game like we have today where no one's hitting and doing, okay, this trade, that trade, this trade, that trade. What I'm really curious to know is if this is how it's going to be the whole year and the Jays are in, you know, third, maybe it's fourth, hopefully it's not fifth in the division, what is this front office going to do? Oof. Like, it would be ludicrous to go out and drop key prospects on guys, but it would also be ludicrous to do almost nothing because of what the expectation was. Like, is there an in-between where, again, I know we're, less than a month into the season. Is there a trade? Is there something that could be done to almost postpone this Blue Jays feeling of needing to win games now? Like, I hope you guys know what I'm trying to say.
Yep.
Okay, yeah, go ahead. Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Justin. I don't think the answers to this team offensively, I don't think they're going to find any answers internally. I just don't. It's early to talk trade. And let's be clear, the Jays have three pitching prospects who are seeing the doctor right now. And in addition to the... in addition to them not being available to pitch for the Blue Jays, it also pretty much takes them off the market in terms of trading. So all of a sudden you're left with an organization whose farm system was really not all that highly thought of to begin with. And now you don't have much to trade. Like, your Addison Barger, not going to get you anything. Or Elvis Martinez. You've got to have the next, and I hate to say this and I get tired of saying this all the time, but it's true. Vladdy and Bo are gone in a year and a half. Definitely one of them for sure, are gone in a year and a half. You need another core. You just do. And you've got to hope that Aurelvis Martinez is part of it. So I just don't know what they have to trade. What's on the major league roster you would trade? Would you trade one of your starting pitchers? Kikuchi's a free agent. He's not going to get you anything. Who else are you going to trade? Maybe Alek Manoah comes back and maybe pitches up his trade value. There's just not a lot there.
Jeff, I will say this. With the way the rotation looked last year and the way it's looked the start of this year, you owe it to the rotation to figure it out. You owe it to
100%.
The rotation to get somebody in here who knows how to hit, who can carry
the
team for
you. Owed it to them over the winter, too.
Absolutely. Like, we've already went down that road, but, boy, they surely do now. Like, the rotation's doing their part, and the pitching staff as a whole, for the most part, is doing everybody's doing what they're being asked to do, and it would be a shame if they stand pat here and try and sell this core thing all year offensively. That'd be a shame.
416-870-0590, *591, 888-666-0590. We will take a break, come back with more of your calls. Jonathan and North Van, don't go anywhere. I want to get to your call. It intrigues me. We'll talk to Jonathan and North Van. Also talk a little Addison Barger. It's Blue Jays Talk on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
You know, he traveled early. I thought he did well. Obviously, you know, it's his first day and left. Kind of weird play there. The initial one that makes a great play against the wall against Vinny. So I thought he did a nice job. I thought his at-bats were competitive. And, it's a whirlwind day, you know, for him today. But I thought he handled himself well.
That's John Schneider talking about Addison Barger, Kevin Barker, Jeff Blair. This is Blue Jays Talk. The Jays 3-2 losers to the Kansas City Royals. They get to do it again tomorrow afternoon. Addison Barger, Kevin, called up earlier today. Kevin Kiermaier on the IL. He did knock the pitcher out of the game, literally, Alex Marsh, with a line drive. First at bat, a 397-foot fly ball to center field. called out in strikes, ground out in his last at bat. John Schneider talking about the play in left field, which I think, as Buck pointed out, is a tough play to make anyhow with the wind swirling. But man, I'll tell you what. One, he looks like he thinks he belongs.
Yep.
And two, I mean, he went up there swinging.
He
wasn't passive, man. He went up there trying to do damage.
You could tell he's very confident. He's got an idea of what he wants to do, what he's trying to do. You know, he's staying in a big part of the field. You know, the lefty on lefty at bat, I mean, that's tough. The lefties up in the big leagues are a little different than they are in the minor leagues, just the way they throw secondary stuff. You know, the play in left field, right, that's the first play you're seeing. It's from a lefty hitter. You know, that wind's blowing, sort of get rolling
slice
around
the whole
in circles.
Thing. It was a bad.
Like, it's just a tough
that was
play,
trouble.
Right?
It was trouble off the bat, wasn't it, for him?
Absolutely, it was. So, you know, I just like that it didn't bother him. Like, he just went back there, you know, he sort of bobbled the ball. But, again, it's everything goes a little faster in the big leagues. It just does. You got to, you know, calm yourself down. It's the first day. You know, they were saying that the travel was pretty tough on him. It's just everything's happening real quick. So, he got past the first day. But I'll tell you this. John better be rolling him out there against righties. Every single time there's a righty on the mound, run him out there somewhere. I don't care where he's playing. Run him out there, let him play, see what he can do. I mean, he's a threat. You got to make a good pitch to get him out. And right now there's not a ton of those in your lineup, so it's nice to see a guy running up there ready to hit, not dragging their bat up there. You know?
It's the same thing we saw last year, I think, that Davis Schneider kind of grabbed us all initially just because he – because there was a sense of energy around him. And I understand we're not big believers necessarily in energy and chemistry and all that, but you know what? I do like a guy who looks like he's excited as hell to be standing at the plate. And something different, man. It was a different look tonight. And you know what? Like, I hate to say this, but we've talked about how this team, let's be charitable, is not the most exciting offensive team in the history of baseball. Mm-hmm. I was invested in his at-bats, man.
I was too.
I wanted a dude to... I want dude to hit a bomb.
That little hit, the quick leg kick with the little hip turn, that's intriguing. Like, he's trying to, you know, gain as much torque in that midsection as he possibly can to create a lot of bat speed. He's got tons of bat speed, like, and he's ready to hit, which is a cool thing. So I hope John plays him against every single righty. See what he's
maybe
got.
Maybe give him the day off against Cole Reagans tomorrow, though.
That's
pretty
nice.
Tough.
I mean, put David Schneider in left.
Sure.
Yeah.
Maybe Daniel Vogel back and get a couple of at-bats against him, too. Jonathan and North Van, you've been patient, my friend. Thank you.
Oh, guys, thanks so much for having me on. Two things. First, I'll throw a softball at you. That play in the first inning where they made a pitch out, what a stupid play that was. It was completely scripted. You got Bobby Witt on first, fastest player on the team. Obviously, he's going to steal on the next pitch that turns into a run. I don't know what Jansen's doing. Second, this organization obsessed with resource management. We see it with Barrios last year, trying to get advantages on their resources late in the game. Today, leading Vogelbach in, trying to get an advantage for the day that never comes. Whether it be Atkins thinking, I'm going to get 12 years of control for Aaron Sanchez, or Schneider walking his way into stupid decisions when his best opportunity is in front of him. This organization, it makes me want to throw up. That's it. Thanks, guys.
Appreciate the call, Jonathan and North Van. We'll mark him down as undecided about the
It's a fair argument. You can't argue a lot about that.
No. It's...
No.
I got no answer for that.
No.
I'm sorry. I mean, I hadn't even thought of the pitch out. Although, you know, when it happened, my first reaction was the same thing Bucks was. Okay, Kansas City's going to try to burn up the base pass. Maybe you're trying to send a message to the Royals that we're aware of it, but I mean, it ain't going to matter. Bobby Witt's like baseball's version of Usain Bolt. I don't think I'm looking at the guys that are going to steal bases for the Royals aren't going to sit there and go, ooh, they might pitch out. I'm not going to run. I didn't get that either. And I mean, the asset management with this organization, look, there's nothing much has changed. I mean, that's all I can say. Nothing much has changed. It really does feel as if this is just this is the 15th month of the 2023 season.
Yeah. I mean, it's like more trickery than it's our good players against your good players, and most of the time we're going to beat you.
We just got a couple of minutes left before we go. Very quickly, want to talk about Yariel Rodriguez, what we saw tonight. Fastball was down over 2 miles an hour. You think that might have been intentional, though?
Hey, I don't know. Maybe. I mean, it sure looked to me like it just wasn't. He didn't have the little oomph at the end of his delivery, which he's had the last couple of times, right? And, you know, it's more about pitching and having it moving and, you know, throwing strike one. I think he was 12 for 20 and throwing strike one, right? The 20 batters and the four plus three batters, that's a lot of batters, right? Mm-hmm. I think that's sort of what they're trying to do is you don't always have to overthrow. You locate a little bit more. You change speeds. You know, the slow breaking ball's nice. It gets them off the slider. Looks like he was forcing break on the slider, which – you know, he just doesn't have to do that. It's like the pausing and the sidearm delivery with two strikes. Like, it's just little things like that, I think, that he doesn't have to do, that he feels like he does have to do. And I think if he gets sort of past those little things, he'll be much better because they're trying to get him deeper games. That's the whole point here, right, is to – you don't sort of have to do that. And I think the only way that he's going to sort of figure it out is to do it on the fly, and I think that's what they're doing.
Do you have any idea when he gets two strikes in the batter? Do you have any idea what he's going to do?
No.
What he should do?
Drop down. What should he do?
Yeah.
Yeah, don't overthink it. Attack. Don't try and make the perfect pitch with a secondary pitch. You don't have to do that. It really good stuff. Your fastball moves all over the place. He normally gets strikes with the fastball, and then he tries to trick people with two strikes, and he doesn't have to do that. So I think the conversations that I've had with people around him and the pitching coach, it's just you see what you see, and then a couple of starts, you'll start making little tweaks, adjustments, and how he goes about it. And, you know, even controlling the running game. It's just little things like that that he'll get better at, and he'll go deeper, and he'll help him win a game.
Well, bottom line is he certainly pitched well enough for them to win a game tonight.
Absolutely. It's the best Cabrera we've seen all year, too. Let's not forget that.
No, he looked
really good. Hennessy's Cabrera was really good tonight.
He looked really good. 3-2, the Blue Jays have lost to the Kansas City Royals. Fourth and final game of the series is tomorrow afternoon. We'll be doing Blue Jays talk following the game on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, and Sportsnet. Thank you for listening to Blue Jays Baseball, brought to you by the local family-owned Crown Rust Control Centers in Bracebridge and Huntsville. Protect your vehicle from rust today. Find your local family-owned Crown at crown.com. They are Canada's number one rust protection.